Chapter 4. The animation begins.
And action.
We started to develop the story. Still using Disney characters, but trying to work out how they'd interact. Who was better at drawing the different characters? How would we create the backgrounds? We also looked at how many frames we'd need to draw to make up an animation, keeping in mind time, cost, and movement. We decided that we could work at 4 frames a second. This was mainly influenced by the fact that our flipbooks were little A7, so 1/8 of an A4 standard page. And at the time, we weren't aware that video in the UK actually ran at 25 frames a second, but the video film part of our animation hadn't really even entered our minds yet. All we knew was that, according to the making-of program that I'd seen, you could draw the characters separately to the background, and by using acetate, clear plastic sheets basically, we could merge the two together, so you'd only have to draw the background once. Even if the person or object in the foreground is going to be, say, 80 frames long, so that would save a lot of time. The other decision that was made was, due to lack of experience really, that for each scene, we would only draw the person once, so say, opening their mouth. Let's say that's, I don't know, 3 or 4 frames. And then we would reverse those frames to show each mouth open and close and loop them over and over again to create the speech patterns. Hence, scenes we'd written which were 40 or 50 words of speech would only have, say, 6 to 10 frames plus 2 backgrounds, 1 background for each character. As we only ever had 2 characters in each scene, mainly because there's 2 artists, we couldn't draw that many characters to a decent standard, so it made sense. After all, you know, we're 7 or 8 at this point. It wasn't really a conscious decision to only have 2 characters per scene, but if one was drawing one character, the other would draw the other, and each evening we'd basically make a scene. Slowly but surely, our flipbooks came together, so we started to think about the acetates. How would we even afford to buy them? Acetate was well beyond our pocket money. Luckily, we started with a small pack of 4 A4 sheets, which we then cut up with a knife into 8 pieces, so we ended up with 32 frames, which, at 6 to 8 frames roughly a scene, was a good chunk of our film. We then started tracing the frames from the flipbooks onto the acetate, but we discovered a problem. Acetate needed special pens. Uh-oh, we just ruined a number of our frames after the ink had failed to dry and would smudge. We were in trouble. Was this the end of the dream? Surely not, we thought, because the teachers at school wrote the songs for assembly on acetate, so the pens obviously existed. We just had to find them. And find them we did. Because unbeknown to me, the pack of pens my gran had given me included a fine line pen that worked on acetate. But not just any fine line pen, no. Unfortunately, it was red. Red? Oh dear, oh dear. No cartoons we'd ever seen use red ink for character outlines. Luckily, I cast my mind back to the program I'd watched about how Warner Brothers had stopped painting their frames by hand and started using a computer to fill in the frames. So, even though we didn't have a computer, or a camera, any way of editing the pictures, any way of recording the sound, I decided we would assume that if we could paint the frames in a computer, the computer could probably also change the colour of the ink from red to black. This mentality basically sums up my entire life, attitude to filmmaking and to business. That although we had no evidence it existed, I'm sure we can make it work. And I really thought it would work, but Sahel was having none of it. He was not convinced. He believed, and in so many cases he was right, that I had just made this up in order to save us time and money looking for a version of the pen that actually had black ink. So of course Sahel dragged us back to Ryman's to look for a black version of the pen, which did in fact exist. Oh, how wrong I was. Although I was still pained to spend £2.50 or so of my hard-earned pocket money on a pen when I was convinced a computer could fix it. NB, my pocket money was not hard-earned. I didn't do any work for my weekly pocket money instalment. I assume it was a reward for, I don't know, not killing anyone or being expelled from school again. I have no evidence to support any of this. I just know I didn't work for it. It wasn't a large sum of money, but every little helped. In fact, I was so convinced of the computer's superpower back in the late 80s that I refused to switch over to the black pen. We already had successfully penned around 20 frames. There was no way I was spending more time or the company's production budget on an additional 3 sheets of acetate. So, Sahel and I had our first creative difference. So much so that he stopped working on our production in order to do a quick animation of a basketball player running and slam dunking a ball into the net, using his black pen, just to prove how much nicer it looked using the right tools for the job. For the company, this wasn't a major hitch because Sahel drew very quickly. He also didn't sketch the shots. He was so confident he would just draw them straight onto the acetate and he finished his animation in one evening. So our little tiff ended, back to the real film, and yes, his black pen did look so much better than the red one. It looked like a proper cartoon. It had more contrast from the acetate. It just looked right. Whereas the red ink was thin, the lines looked more like, I don't know, watery ink than the bold outlines of a character. But my stubbornness and extreme tightness won over. Sahel didn't really have a choice. He was an animator, and I was the director. Therefore, he had to do whatever I said. This all coming from someone who was now probably 8 from memory, so the perfect age to start a directional debut.